myself again, with very different reasons to feel nervous. Whereas the last call had come through perfectly official channels from the Ministry of Intelligence, this one had a very different purpose and bore risks of its own. This time, when the holo projector stirred, it revealed a perfectly clear image of a woman who still struck Ula as looking entirely too young for the role she played in the Imperial administration.
"Hello, Ula. How nice to hear from you again. To what do I owe the pleasure?"
Ula swallowed. Shulis Kamar's smile seemed perfectly sincere, and Ula had no reason to believe it otherwise. The current Minister of Logistics was the same age as him and shared his passionate belief that the Empire was a civilizing force to be reckoned with. They had discussed this subject at length during a shuttle flight from Dromund Kos, the one time he had visited the Imperial Capital World. He had been attending a briefing for members who hadn't qualified to be cipher agents, but were still considered useful to the intelligence arm. She was on her way to be promoted to lieutenant. Since then, her rise had been meteoric, while he remained essentially nowhere.
"I have something for you," he told her. "A world ripe for annexation, discovered by the Hutts."
"I've heard something about this already. No one knows where it is, and we won't until we pay up. Do you have anything to add, Ula?"
He deflated slightly, so he wasn't the first to make a report.
"Not yet, Minister, but I'm well placed to follow it up and hope to learn more soon."
"That would be to the benefit of us all, Ula,"
she said with another smile.
"Why did you call me about it?"
"Because it's the opportunity we've been waiting for," he said, feeling his pulse thudding in his neck.
This was as dangerous a territory now as it had ever been.
"We don't need fanatics to rule a galaxy. We just need proper governance and administration. Rules, laws, discipline. When you see those lunatics wreaking havoc on the worlds out here, Jedi and Sith alike, I have to ask what benefit they bring."
He used her own word deliberately.
"There wouldn't be a war at all without them stirring things up."
"I remember this, Ula,"
she said with patience that cut through him like a lightsaber.
"I understand your views, but there's nothing I can do.
All we need is just one world, a strong world capable of defending itself, on which the Imperial citizens could thrive without fear or oppression."
"The world you've heard of belongs rightfully to the Emperor. I cannot claim it for myself."
"But you're the Minister of Logistics now. The entire Imperial bureaucracy is yours."
She rebuffed him gently, as she always did.
"It is the Emperor's, as it should be. I am his instrument, and I would not betray his trust."
"I would never ask you to do that."
"I know, Ula. You are as loyal as I am, and you mean well. But I fear that what you ask is impossible."
He took pains never to push their friendship too far, but he was unable to hide his disappointment.
"What will it take to change your mind, Minister?"
"When you have the location of the world, talk to me again."
He knew all too well that betraying the Republic while at the same time trying to convince a senior minister to increase the influence of ordinary people in their relations with the Sith ruling class could bring his entire world to ruin.
"Thank you, Minister," he said. "You're kind to indulge me."
"It's neither kindness, Ula, nor an indulgence. You may call me any time."
She ended the transmission, and this time Ula didn't sag.